is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to Road School Moms Radio, where education meets adventure. Your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino of Full Time Families and Mary Beth Goff, the road trip teacher, will share advice, information, and encouragement to bring your road schooling efforts to new levels.
Happy Sunday night, Sunday of summer. I'm one of your hosts from Road School Moms, Kimberly Travaglino, co-founder of Full Time Families and Road Schooling Mom of Four. I hope you're having a wonderful evening. And on the line with me, co-host.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hi there. This is Jeremy.
Hi, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Wonderful. Mary Beth, are you on the line?
I am, Kimberly. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Kimberly.
Good. So on the line tonight we have myself, Kimberly Travaglino, the co-host, Mary Beth Goff, and our very special guest, Jeremy Stewart, Director of Class Dismissed. Thanks so much for being on the line with us tonight, Jeremy.
Thank you, and thanks for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
Mary Beth and I have so many questions to ask you. We're so excited about it. So, the first question I have is, why did you take this project on?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, well, a number of reasons. You know, I'm a homeschooling parent myself. I have a daughter who's 9, who's never gone to school. And I was at a conference a few years back with a good friend of mine, and we were just talking about all the great families that we were meeting there and how excited we were to be a part of the homeschooling community. And right about that same time, there were two documentaries that were in theaters at the time, and one of them was Waiting for Superman, and the other one was Race to Nowhere. I don't know if you've ever seen any of those films, but you know, they were both looking at problems within the traditional educational system, and I was very disappointed that neither one of them mentioned homeschooling at all, or even any other alternative to the traditional system. So right there and then, my friend and I decided, okay, well, maybe we should make the film and you know, make a documentary that really speaks to this as an alternative. So that's kind of how the project began. And obviously it's a labor of love. It's a project of passion because, you know, it's deeply connected to my own personal journey with homeschooling as well.
So, Jeremy, were you homeschooled as well, or is this something that you've done now with your daughter?
No, I was not. No, I grew up in London, England, and I went to traditional public school with very mixed results. You know, when I was in middle school, I was actually a pretty good student and enjoyed school up to a point. And then when I got to high school, everything just, you know, got bad for me. I mean, I felt like there were a lot of things I was interested in that they wouldn't let me pursue because, you know, for instance, I was a musician, so I was really into music and you know, that was my whole vision. But I also wanted to do art, and they said, well, you can't do art because you're already doing music, you know. So it felt like one door after another was kind of being closed in my face. So I didn't have a very good high school experience, and I couldn't wait to get out of there. And I actually left high school at 17 and never looked back. And then, you know, everything that I've learned in my life since then is I've learned on my own because I've wanted to learn it. So I guess you could say I'm a homeschooler at heart. But I certainly didn't have that experience growing up.
You homeschool your 9-year-old daughter with your wife. Did she have a similar negative experience in regular school, or was she homeschooled?
No, she was not homeschooled either, and her experience, I think, was a little better than mine. In fact, she has a master's in education and was actually a teacher at one point and taught in Sydney, Australia, doing her sort of internship-type work over there. So she has a very different experience to me. Probably a bit more positive, although it became very clear to us when our daughter was born, as we started kind of discussing what we were going to do about educating her, that you know, she was not willing to follow the traditional route. And it was actually my wife Kim who introduced me to the whole concept of homeschooling. You know, I really didn't know anything about it. In fact, I didn't even know that there were any alternatives to traditional school because I hadn't experienced any, and I never knew any homeschoolers growing up. And Kim had given me a book by John Holt. I don't remember which one it was, but you know, at that time when she first gave it to me, I think I just kind of glanced through it and it sounded interesting, but I didn't really think too much of it until a couple of years later when Kaya, our daughter, was about two. And then we started really thinking about, well, what are we going to do about school? And it turned out we found out there was a conference very near where we live, a homeschool conference that we decided to attend. And, you know, we were kind of really curious, like, what is this thing? You know, what is this homeschooling thing? And who are these people that are doing this? So we went there as a sort of fact-gathering mission. And I was so blown away by the kids that I saw there, that I interacted with there, that I said to Kim, you know, if these kids are the result of homeschooling, then sign me up. So that's kind of what we did, you know, and we haven't looked back, really. So
Jeremy, our community, you know, we're road schoolers, but that really envelopes many different kinds of homeschoolers. And I know we're focusing a lot on your own personal homeschool journey, but just so that we can understand kind of where your passion comes from. So do you and your wife, as far as your personal homeschooling for your daughter, are you a certain type of homeschooler? Do you use a certain type of curriculum, or is there a certain, you know, way that you decided to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could kind of place us in the sort of unschooling or eclectic, you know, model, if you like. We certainly don't use any pre-packaged curriculum or anything like that, but we're open to anything, you know. I mean, our daughter takes a lot of outside classes, and you know, what we try to really do is follow her interests and then do everything that we can to provide the resources to pursue those interests. And then, of course, we're always making sure that we're exposing her to as much as possible so that she's getting as broad a reference as she can about what's available. But basically, we're pretty eclectic, yeah.
Now, do you think you'll homeschool her through high school and potentially college, or do you have an end game in mind?
We don't have an end game in mind. I mean, at this point, we feel, you know, we've discussed very openly with Kaya what her options are, and if at any point she wants to try school, she's more than welcome to, and we would completely support that. So, you know, we bring that up every now and again with her. And we check in and see how she's doing, and you know, we'll find out what she's interested in, and if she feels she's getting enough, and you know, and so we don't really have an end, you know, cutoff time, if you like, and say, okay, we're going to homeschool until this point, and then we'll try something else. I mean, I think it's constantly evolving, even in the last couple of years. You know, we've noticed some changes, and things are shifting for her and for us as a family, and so we just try to really roll with those changes, and be as flexible as possible. So we'll see where it goes. You know, it's hard to say. I mean, as I said, if Kaya decides at some point, you know, I really want to see what school is like, then we would absolutely make that happen and support her in that. So it's kind of, you know, more her decision, or it's as much her decision as it is ours, I think.
So in talking about the project, Class Dismissed, with your movie,
yeah.
Jeremy, what... Is there a basis for that as well? Does it follow all the branches, or you know, all the different types of homeschooling? Is there something that you mainly focus on during the movie?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the movie hinges on, you know, the narrative part of the film hinges upon one family that we found who had two girls who were age 11 and 13 at the time. Living in Los Angeles, and they were in one of the best public schools in that area. They specifically moved to that little part of LA for the school. Well, let me back up a little bit. So when we initially started the project, we started out by interviewing a lot of experts in homeschooling and unschooling and alternative education fields. And we got some really great information from them, and they came from all different areas. But it was always my thought that it would be most helpful, especially for people who are considering homeschooling, if they could witness you know, someone else's journey into homeschooling. You know, we thought, wouldn't it be great if we could find a family who were just about to pull their kids out of school because it just wasn't working for them for whatever reason, and we could document that whole process. And so that's what we did. We put out a casting call, and we found, we actually got about 100 responses from all over the country, which I was not expecting. That was kind of amazing. And we settled on this family in Los Angeles. And as I said, they had two girls, 11 and 13, and in middle school. And they just weren't happy with what was happening. So they pulled them out, and we followed them for a year and a half. So we documented everything that they did on their process, you know, in terms of them figuring out what was going to work for them. So, and in addition to that, we've continued to meet other families along the way who are following different types of directions with homeschooling. So the film actually touches on as many different types of homeschooling as you can squeeze into one film. You know, we talk about classical curriculum, we talk about unschooling, we talk about, you know, school at home kind of curriculum-based things, we talk about self-directed learning, we go into the process of de-schooling because obviously these girls had to kind of de-school and kind of, you know, take a little time out to kind of rediscover their passions. So we touch on that as well, and we talk about charter schools as well. So and we do touch on college and various other things. There's a lot in the film, and you know, we were trying to really cover as many bases as possible because, as you know, in the homeschooling world, there isn't one particular way to homeschool. There are so many, and you know, we wanted to really give people who are watching the film the impression that, you know what, there's as many ways to homeschool as there are families doing it. And then if you're really committed, you can probably find a way to make it work for your own family, regardless of your personal situation. So that's kind of the premise of the whole film there.
Well, that's fantastic, Jeremy. Earlier this week, I saw you have a call out for volunteers.
Yeah.
What is it volunteers to do to help you make this bring this film to theaters?
Sorry, the question was, what can they do?
What are you looking for volunteers?
So, let me tell you a little bit about our sort of distribution plan. You know, this has been a real labor of love, and it's been a real community-funded project as well. The money that we've raised has been all from the homeschooling community, which has been fantastic. We ran Kickstarter campaigns and Indiegogo campaigns. You know, I applied for many different filmmaking grants along the way. And unsuccessfully, but you know, we weren't going to be daunted by that. We wanted to absolutely make this film no matter what, and so we did crowdfunding and very successfully raised enough money to finish the production. So we're done with filming right now, and for the last 8 months, I've been editing the project. We shot nearly 300 hours of footage. It's an incredible amount of material to sift through. So for the last 8 months, I've been editing it together, and we're about 87 minutes now. The film's looking really good. We're very close. We still have some work to do on that, and because we don't have any major distribution in terms of getting the film out to theaters, we're going to do a very grassroots type of thing too, which is kind of nice because it really does involve the community, and they've been involved since day one, and so I kind of like that. In fact, I like to refer to the film as a people-powered film. So what we're going to do with our volunteers is we're going to do, in order to show the film in theaters, we're going to do what's called four-walling. So we find an independent theater in a town, like Los Angeles, for instance, and we rent the theater for the evening, and then we sell tickets on Eventbrite or some site like that, and we use social media to hopefully get enough people in there to fill the theater, make enough money to pay for the theater, and have a little left over that we can then buy another theater in another town. And this is the only real way that we're going to get this onto the big screen. So our volunteers, one of the ways they can really help us out is by locating theaters, independent theaters like that in their hometown, or sending us suggestions about, hey, you know, there's this great place where I live that would be really a terrific place to show this film, and then kind of stepping forward to help us organize that. And you know, get the word out with their homeschooling groups and with their friends and so on. So that's one of the ways the volunteer group can help. the other thing that I'm very excited about is we want to do house parties, you know, house parties and in-home screenings. You know, a lot of independent films do this now. It's a really effective way, especially in this subject, to get people together who might be curious about homeschooling. You know, I'm sure most homeschooling families out there have met neighbors or even other family members who have bombarded them with questions, you know, about, well, what do you do all day, and what does homeschooling look like, and, you know, what's this and what's that? So this is a great opportunity to invite some of those people into your home, and we'll have DVDs available, and we're also going to be producing a PDF informational packet that has all kinds of resources about homeschooling. So you'd invite people over, have a screening in your home and a discussion afterwards, and then be able to hand out this information for people who want to follow up and find out more about it. So again, this is where volunteers can come in. If people want to volunteer to have a house screening, then they should contact us, and we'll, you know, help them and guide them in how to really make that happen and set it up. So those are some of the ways that our volunteers can really help us get this film out to as many people as possible.
That is so interesting. I love it because, for our group, you know, we're RVers. There aren't many of us that I guess you could call traditional. So I absolutely love it that, you know, even that, you know, you've got a non-traditional type film, and the way that we're going to, you know, that you're going to get it out there is also non-traditional. I love that. So
yeah, it's kind of perfect, actually. Yeah.
It is. So if you're listening out there, Kimberly just posted, if you would like to be a volunteer and know more about this, she posted that on our chat, and we're also going to post that right now on our Facebook page. But just give us a quick rundown, Jeremy. Is there, if someone was interested in bringing this to a theater in their hometown, are there certain, just the basics of what type of theater? Does it need to seat so many people? Are there any kind of parameters that we should be looking for?
Not really. I mean, you'll find in most towns there's, you know, the independent, and when I say independent theater, you know, not part of a big chain. And usually those are very, very friendly towards inviting independent films in. And usually their rates are very reasonable for renting the theater for a private event. And essentially that's what this is. And so, you know, you can find out if there's one in your town and, you know, contact them and say, how many seats is it? How much does it cost to rent the theater for the night to show a film, and that kind of thing. And then we can gather all that information and then start the process of booking the theater and making sure that we can, you know, we want to show up to as many of them as we can, myself and my co-producer, Dustin. If it's possible, we would love to actually be present at some of them so we can answer questions. But, yeah, there's no particular criteria. As I said to someone over the weekend, you know, we'll show this film anywhere. Whoever wants to see it, if there's a way that we can show it, we'll show it. So.
Well, that brings up a really interesting point, Jeremy, because what I foresee, and Mary Beth, we have to get to this, I foresee a rash of Road School Mom showings of this film in campgrounds across the nation. Because
that's an interesting idea, yeah.
I travel with my own screen and my own projector, and every week I could be showing this in a new campground.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, that's really interesting idea.
So what do you think about that, Mary Beth?
Hey, that's an awesome idea. Can you not hear my wheels turning? I'm thinking about, you know, rallies and just all the places that we all come in contact with each other and how great that would be to get that word out, because that you're speaking to our heart, because you know, like we said, when all you have to do is say either unconventional or non-traditional, and all of our ears perk right up. So definitely right up our alley. So tell me, just moving back just a little bit, so when you were in production for this film and trying to gather the funds and all the resources to do this, do you feel like that you met resistance because it was a homeschooling film, or because it was a project about that subject, or was it just the normal things that you
that's a very good question. I mean, you know, traditional funding in the film world is getting tighter and tighter. The competition's really, really stiff. And, you know, literally hundreds, sometimes even thousands of people will apply for a particular film grant. But I have a suspicion that something about the word homeschooling or something about the subject matter makes people uncomfortable enough to the point where they don't want to support it. That's my personal theory. I may be wrong on that. But it was surprising to me because, you know, when you talk about education of any kind, usually everybody has an opinion. You know, it definitely is a hot-button subject. And there's been many films about education lately. I mentioned two of them, you know, Waiting for Superman and Race to Nowhere, and there's many others. But I was very surprised that nobody in the traditional funding world kind of stepped up and said, hey, we're really interested in hearing about this. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is, really. I think my gut feeling is that the film is definitely going to rattle some cages, and we'll definitely shake a few people up, which I think is good because I feel like we really need to be having this conversation. And you know, one of my goals in making the film was, I feel like there's so much misperception out there in the general public about what homeschooling is. Largely perpetuated by the traditional media. And whenever you hear stories on traditional media about homeschooling, there's usually some kind of negative spin on it. And they tend to focus at extreme ends. It's either sort of extremist religious viewpoints or extreme on the other end. And they put a spin on it because that's what gets ratings. And you know, what this film really looks at is the people in between. And it's like there are so many people doing this from all walks of life and for all kinds of reasons. And that message really needs to get out there. So, you know, I'm excited about that because I think the film will really speak to many people who have kids in school right now who kind of maybe get a sense that something's not right and they don't know what to do about it. And I'm hoping that this film will be the inspiration to start thinking about this in a new way.
We were promoting the show, and we were putting your trailers out there this week on a bunch of different road schooling and homeschooling Facebook groups, and I thought that this was a really interesting comment. It happens to come from a friend of Mary Beth and I who is a school teacher and currently a road school mom, so she's on like a sabbatical from her schooling job, and she wrote, "It's becoming easier and easier to villainize public schools, and I didn't see that at all in this promo, just compassion for the struggle and support for the parents." And I thought, yeah, that's exactly right. You know, out of someone. And that sells tickets and that sells ads and stuff like that. But this is a different kind of story.
Well, that's a really nice comment to hear. And, you know, I've been incredibly sensitive to that argument. You know, I really don't want this film to be an us against them type of situation. You know, I understand that one thing I've really learned in making this film is homeschooling isn't for everybody. I understand not everybody can do this for all kinds of other reasons. And, you know, and schools do serve a very important purpose. And the other thing I touch upon in the film is it's really not the fault of the teachers, certainly not, that things are so messed up in our schools. I mean, I think it's an institution that really hasn't changed very much in the past 150 years. It's completely bogged down with administrative dogma and bureaucracy right from the very top all the way down. You know, and with No Child Left Behind and now the Common Core, I think teachers are literally handcuffed. You know, they cannot teach the way children need to learn. They have to follow all of these rules. And so I understand it's an incredibly difficult environment for them to be working in. But the other side of that is I think that our society perpetuates this myth that the only way to learn is to be in school. And that's just absolutely not true. As you know, as we all know, it's like we can gather information from almost anywhere now. It's very easy to access information. So it's not about going to some special place to get information anymore. The conversation is not about that anymore. It used to be, when I was in school, if you wanted to learn something, you had to kind of go to a special place called a school to get that information. Not the case anymore. So I think the whole emphasis and dialogue needs to shift. The whole purpose of schools needs to shift. And I think that, you know, this is where this film hopefully tries to kind of bridge that gap a little bit. So that's my hope anyway.
Well, I know I, for one, I'm sure Kimberly will agree with me on this. I like it. I personally didn't have a bad experience with public school in my own childhood, nor did I have, I don't have terrible public school stories before I pulled my own kids out of school. And I think sometimes when you start off, whether you're talking about a film project or whether, you know, you're talking about a magazine or just your own personal experience, if you start out bashing public school or what, you know, it just kind of turns some of the ears off. And I love it that, you know, that your platform the way it is. I mean, I just think it'll gain so much more attention, you know, in a more subtle way. And, you know, and I love that. And I love what you said, you know, homeschool is not for everyone. And we face that all the time, again, back to the, you know, the type of homeschoolers we are. Living full-time in an RV is certainly not for everyone, nor is
right.
homeschooling. And that's really what we're all about. And it's not that, you know, we don't want to glamorize what we do, that it's so wonderful. It's just what we do. And I love it that the way you're presenting this project is that way, so that you can really see the true, you know, platform behind what you're doing.
That's great. Thank you. Yeah. And as I said, I tried to cover a lot of ground in the film, you know, and I really want to emphasize, you know, my personal feeling is that there's no one way of approaching homeschooling that's better than any other way. It's just different. You know, and so whether you unschool or whether you radical unschool or whether you follow classical curriculum, it's really not that relevant, because the most relevant thing is what are you doing with your family and your children, and is that working for you? And if that's if the answer is yes, then great, keep doing it. You know, so I really wanted to make that point in the film that there's many, many options available to people. And if they're just willing to step outside of that box and get past the fact that we've had drummed into us that somehow we only learn when we're in school, then they'll find that there's probably a way that they can figure it out.
Okay, so reiterate again, how can our community help you, Jeremy? How can we get this film out there so everyone can see it, so people can be inspired and make the changes they need to make?
Well, you're already doing that by having me on the program and using, you know, social media to help post the trailer and get things out there, get the word out there. I mean, social media is a really big part of this, too. It's been really quite incredible to reach out and see the responses that we've gotten back. And, you know, more of that. It's surprising to me sometimes how... you know, we stumble across other homeschool groups in different parts of the country and who haven't heard about the film at all. And so, you know, I would say that one of the ways people can really help out is if you're a part of a homeschooling network or a group, no matter how many people are in it, you know, let them know about it. And connect with us on social media. And once the film is ready, then we can really utilize that force, you know, that energy of, I mean, it's amazing. The internet's incredible because it just connects people so quickly now. And I think we really need to utilize that to get this film into the hands of as many people as possible. So yeah, thank you for being a part of that. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm sure this is a million-dollar question, Jeremy, and I know that you're in the editing stage right now. Do you have a target date? Because, of course, we all want to know, when are we going to get to see this awesome film?
I knew that was coming, yeah. So it's funny, I got that question a lot in various stages in making the film. And at one point, I was getting that question so many times, I actually wrote a little blog post about it. And one of our supporters sent me a T-shirt that said, don't ask me when the film will be ready, I don't know. But so, which I thought was fabulous. But and so... I right now, as we speak, I cannot put an actual date and day and date on it yet, but I will say, and I can pretty much guarantee at this point, that the film will be ready in the fall of this year. So that's exciting. I never thought I'd even be able to say that. About 6 months ago, if you'd asked me, I would have had no idea. So it's definitely coming. We're in the last stretch of post-production. We've got a little bit more editing to do. We have to do some music scoring and narration and various other things that happen in the post-production process to really make the film shine, and then it'll be ready. And I can't wait to make that announcement. So right now I can just say fall 2014. and we'll keep everybody updated as soon as we know anything different.
That sounds great. And where can they go to get more information? What's your website?
Well, so we have two websites. The one that people should really look at right now is homeschoolfilm.com. And that's been our sort of production website. We've had that up since the beginning, and it also acts as a kind of a hub for the homeschooling community to interact with us directly. You know, you can comment on our blog, you can send emails from there, you can see trailers, you can, and we post production photographs and various things that are happening with the film at that site. The official site, which eventually, there's not much up there right now, but eventually will be the official face of the film, would be classdismissedmovie.com. You can go there now, but you'll just see much of what's on the other site at this point. But we're going to be reworking the website very soon, and once the film is ready, that's where people will go to get information about where the screenings are happening and how to get DVDs and all of that kind of stuff. So, homeschoolfilm.com right now is the best place for people to visit.
Well, and I'm looking at that right now, Jeremy, and there's all kinds of information on there. So, again, we'll post that on our chat and all our social media, homeschoolfilm.com. And I just have to say thank you so much for taking this project on and making it your passion, because it's definitely something that's close to our heart, and we look so forward to helping you spread the news about this wonderful piece.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And I have to say I'm very intrigued and excited about what you do as road schoolers. You know, and I was talking to my wife about this, and I said, you know, what we should do when the film is done, we should buy a big school bus and class dismissed on the side, and we'll throw all our stuff in there, and we'll just drive around the country doing screenings. And she thought I was insane. But there's a part of me that's serious about that. I think it would be a really great adventure. So I love what you guys are doing, too, and I'd like to hear more about that at some point, too.
I really honestly feel that this is the beginning of a new project, a pet project for Mary Beth and I. And what you just said about the school bus, I see Mary Beth and I following you.
Yeah. So, I was going to say, this is totally doable. And also, Jeremy, just know that when this starts out, one of you always thinks the other one is insane, and eventually everyone comes around.
Right, yep. Right. No. I mean, it's definitely a huge commitment, and I understand, like you said, that, you know, that type of lifestyle is not for everyone, and I don't know how we would really make it work out if we could make it work out, but it's certainly something we're kicking around as an idea, and it's very exciting. So we'll see what happens.
Very cool. Well, we'll see you on the road, Jeremy, and thanks so much for being a part of tonight's show.
I really appreciate it. Thank you very much, and good luck with all of your travels.
Thank you. Good night.
Wow, that was exciting.
That was so fun. I cannot wait for this movie to come out.
Yeah, I know. I'm super excited about it, too. And I really, wow, fall 2014, that just worked perfectly into my very, very packed schedule. And I could see us having showings across the country. And if you're on the East Coast, I'm on the West Coast, we'd do double time. It'd be perfect.
Right. Well, you know, my wheel's already clicking. I'm already thinking about how great that would be for our winter rally in Florida and all these other places that we can promote it. And, you know, I can just see it. I can see it in light.
Yep.
I see everything in light, so we know this. So,
yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, a little out of schedule, but what are you drinking?
What I'm drinking is, and, you know, this is just so me. So I'm drinking, it's called a June Bug. And it really doesn't have a whole lot to do with how it tastes. I just like the fact that we can say we're drinking a June Bug. And my kid, like, that's what happened this week. We're like, ooh, what are we going to drink? You know, I wanted to have something new. And it was like our first Sunday of summer. And so I started Googling around and I found the June Bug. I'm like, oh, that's it. Because I just want to be able to say, oh, I'm drinking the June Bug. So the link is posted on our chat. And I think it's on Road School Moms. It's actually in my recipe box at Diary of a Road Mom. So check it out. You only need four things to make a June Bug.
That's interesting.
It's fizzy.
Well, you know, I have to go counter clockwise all the time. Something about me. And so I am drinking Serendipity's frozen hot chocolate. Have you ever had? Yes. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't. It sounds yummy.
So Serendipity's is this really hoity-toity place that started in New York City back when I didn't have kids and I didn't have a husband. I just had a dog. And I worked in New York City, and there was this hoity-toity little shop, and they started with this frozen hot chocolate. I think Oprah got involved, and it was a big stinking deal. And now they have a Serendipities on mostly every corner in Vegas and all those other touristy places. But this frozen hot chocolate is their claim to fame. They've got a whole bunch of other offerings, but this is their you know, cornerstone thing. And it starts off with a chocolate, and then there's more chocolate and some more chocolate, some ice and some chocolate. So it's perfect.
Well, you've got my attention with the first chocolate. So you, I wouldn't have made it past the second and third chocolate, that's for sure.
So I posted the link on our chat, and I want to know what your road school looked like this week, Mary Beth.
Well, our road school, we're, you know, it's just all about R&D. I feel so bad. Like, I feel like I'm going to get in trouble with some kind of a child labor law because it's like, what are you doing in your own road school? Oh, we research and develop all my road trip teacher projects. But so this week in
your old home school sweatshop.
Yeah, exactly. That is exactly what it is. So you don't want to travel with us or your kids will probably hate you because they'll have to spend time in our rig doing all our road trip teacher projects. But anyway, we actually, and this is also so unlike me, I started on my July 4th study guide. Can you believe it? And it's done, and it's only, like, I don't even think, what is today, June the 22nd, and it's finished? I mean, I think I should get some kind of medal.
Yeah, I made the medal. I pounded it out today because when I saw it in my email, I about fell over because, you know, as our viewers, we don't know what month it is, what week it is. And so I saw it, and I'm going to be honest with you, I thought, God, did I miss the 4th of July?
Well, I'm trying to stick to my guns about, you know, we're releasing something new every week, and it's just so much easier for me when I can do something with my own kids to enhance their road school and then make it available to road school moms everywhere because that really is my mission. So that's what we've done. You know, right now I'm a big fan of copy work, so there's some copy work in there for print and cursive handwriters that's actually the lyrics to the Star Spangled Banner. So. Yeah, and then there's some history about the Star Spangled Banner. There's some history about where fireworks originated and, you know, why it's America's birthday, the Declaration of Independence. Just kind of some fun, light things. It's not anything really heavy. It's not anything boring. And there's several word puzzles. And so that's what we've done this week. We learned all about July 4th, and so now my kids are all excited. My boys are trying to make their own fireworks, so I'm not sure how that's going to work out, but I'll probably get kicked out of the next RV resort over that. Well, hopefully we can keep that in check.
Very cool. Very cool. So in my road school, we finally got around to making our play. That's been on my list for about 4 years that we should have our own little school play. And Chris and Dominic left the house one day, and it was just me and those three other kids. And so I said, okay, we're going to make the play. And, you know, what I learned, Mary Beth, this week, just this week, what I learned about my 41-year-old self is that I am a huge control freak. I don't know if you knew that.
That is so shocking. I don't even know what to say to that. I just don't even know what to say.
Just tell me I'm wrong, really. That's all I need to hear is that I'm wrong because about that, because I must be. But I sat down with Tonya, you know, to start this play, and they had Goldilocks and the Three Bears. They had it all wrong. They had the story all wrong. You know, there's too much, too little, just right, blah, blah, blah. No. They hadn't heard it that way, or maybe they hadn't heard it at all because that's how bad a parent I am. But they had some vague idea, and they went off on a tangent about all sorts of stuff. And at first, every cell, every molecule in my body was like, I need to rein them in. We need the too much, too little, just right theme in this. Otherwise, they're going to miss the whole thing. Their life will be ruined because they won't understand the Goldilocks tale and blah, 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 blah. But, gosh, I literally had to put tape on my mouth. I just put tape on my mouth. I just took the masking, put it on my face, and said, tell me what to write. And they did. And so they wrote this beautiful play. And Blaze narrated and directed it. There were a few lines that Tonya had to read that she did. And then DJ and I played the part of the bears. There were only two bears instead of three bears because we were out of people, and she was obviously Goldilocks. And they felt so accomplished. And here I was full on the verge of ruining it for them. I was going to make it miserable because that's what I do around here.
Well, you know, you just have, and I mean, I'm the worst at this. You know that it's hard for me to let go of anything when it comes to that because you always want, you know, I want it a certain way. And that, I mean, even the simple things, like when we talked about our big laundry debate, when it really comes down to it, I want things put away in a certain way. That's why I don't let them do their own laundry. I mean, but in the scheme of things, and when you really talk about your road school, you know, especially in our situation, I mean, really stop and examine it. We're doing what we're doing because we want to let them kind of learn outside of, you know, the norm. And so if we constantly tell them how to learn and how we think they should be, you know, that's just an extension of our own craziness, our own crazy mind. And, you know, I think that's why you and I have both, we've dabbled around in unschooling and what unschooling means to us. And really when it comes down to it, and I know you've admitted this, if you really can't control what they're learning if you want to unschool. You know, you've got to give them the reins and let them run with it, and you have to trust in the process.
Well, you know, what happened to me and how I actually saw this, actually was able to see myself doing this, is very interestingly enough, Nancy Vogel, who's one of the chicks from Chicks Without Bricks, those are Chicks Without Bricks, she's the biker chick, and she was on one of our shows, biking across the globe. She's, you know, a big homeschooling advocate, former school teacher. Her brand new book came out this week, right? Road Schooling, right. The Ultimate Guide Patients Through Travel, available on Amazon, and I immediately bought the hard copy, which is, I don't buy a lot of hard copy books, but I wanted this one. And I had forgotten that a million years ago she had asked me, she'd sent me like an interview about how I wrote school, and I had replied back to her and completely forgot that I was a part of the book.
Oh, how awesome.
So when I read the book, it said in there, and I quote, something like, I'm just here to give them a foundation of knowledge and let them distill it in whatever way makes sense to them. And when I read that, the words that I had wrote, I was like, what? What did I say? Did I really say that? Well, that sounds like a brilliant idea. Why am I not doing that? So I saw myself through my own eyes this week and thought, wow, where does this come from? Where does this need to control every aspect of this come from? And again, we come right back to, for me, it comes from the ego, right? Because if they go off and say, tell some adult that I respect and know how Goldilocks works, and it's all wrong, then I'm going to look like an idiot. That's, you know, that's just what looks like to me in my head. But that's not the reality.
Well, and it really does go back to, in the grand scheme of things, I mean, some of it is, you know, I don't know if peer pressure is the right word, but, you know, traditionally the way our country works, especially, and the way our society works, is that, you know, you're supposed to fit in some sort of box. And if you don't fit, then, you know, it's my favorite saying, you're the Easter egg at Christmas, and, you know, you don't want all eyes on you. And so, you know, it's hard to step back and let them, you know, take the reins and see what comes of it. But I'll tell you that for every time I've ever done that, I can't think of any negative outcomes. I mean, and really, if you examine it, you probably can't either.
No, I really can't. That play went off without a hitch. Everyone enjoyed themselves. We all felt like we had accomplished something, and so they made a new version of Goldilocks. Isn't that really what I want them to be doing? Do I really want them rehashing the same old thing? That's not what I do. That's not what you do. That's not, you know, how you publish curriculum. That doesn't help anybody.
Right.
So why would I promote that? It's just, you know, again, in this realm, I am the biggest learner, hands down.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that. I mean, that's, you heard me say it a million times, our RV experience and our homeschooling experience, I mean, hands down, it's the best thing we've ever done for our family. It's the best thing we've ever done for our faith. But I have got a front seat to to all of it myself. And I think the same thing. I always think how blessed I am and how lucky I am, because I seriously, at the end of the day, I always feel like I've learned the most.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in that same vein, I'm proud to say that in my road school, I went back to school this week. I'm super excited
really?
About that. I did. I am taking a course. You might recall that you and I did an interview with the folks at AWAI about living the writer's life and their copywriting program, and I started this week. And I am super excited about it, Mary Beth. The program is laid out so beautifully. You can do the whole thing online. You can print it out if that's what you'd like. But if you're printed out, you're really robbing yourself, because as you're flipping the pages, embedded in the pages are these videos, are these audio clips, and it's just a fantastic, fantastic project. Really excited about it. So I'm on week one, and I'll be sharing my progress every week.
Why do you do things like this? Because you know that I'm not going to let you do that without catching up with you. I mean, that's not even right. Can you just not give it a rest here for the summer? Are you kidding me?
It's good. You're busy. You got stuff to do.
Well, I'll have to say that I was very intrigued with the AWAI, or with that whole program, and I know I've reviewed it, the things that you sent me, and it does look like a great program, so I'll be very interested to watch your journey with that.
Yeah, you know, from our perspective, in our lifestyle, now, I don't know that I'll actually be a copywriter, but I'm very interested in completing the whole thing. And if I'm going to be a copywriter, I feel like this program is really going to prepare me for success. But if I was at home and I wanted to live the full-time RV lifestyle and I didn't want to run, a risky internet website, and what I mean by risk is that you and I, we run our own website and we don't know how much income is coming in week to week, and we have to, you know, take certain measures to make sure that we stretch our income when it comes, and that, you know, we don't go crazy and stuff like that. But if I was in the house and I wasn't looking for that opportunity, I was looking for a more stable opportunity to make my full-time RV dreams a reality, then this is where I would go. Absolutely, hands down, I would be in that copywriting class right now.
Well, since you brought that up, I have to say this. I know that you and I have been working on our schedule, and really we have our guests are posted out through, I think, the end of August, the last time I looked at our calendar. We've kind of gotten away from our How to Make Money on the Road series, but I have to tell you that I've had two awesome, crazy, amazing opportunities the last couple of weeks to look at different ways that someone might make a living on the road. I know you've got this copyright, and I want our listeners to stay tuned to our How to Make Money on the Road series, because we're going to be posting some updates soon. So if you're at home looking for, you know, a way to make a stable income, we're going to have some resources for you. So just wanted to mention that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really excited about those things too, because that's the number one question. How do you do it? How do you afford it? And this is something that people really need to consider to make it a reality. You know, you can't just go off half-cocked and that's just how I feel about it. I feel like you need to lay a good foundation so that you have a solid income that you can kind of count on, or you can adjust your travel style to accommodate for like how we started when full-time family was new and we didn't have enough income to live off of it. We lived in the Thousand Trail system. That was our backup. That's, you know, how we started. So everybody's got to have their own way to make sure that they can make this a successful journey for themselves.
Well, I 100% agree with that. And, you know, your book, How to Hit the Road, has a lot of great resources, and Full-Time Families has a lot of great resources. Really, our group as a whole, anybody that goes on the Full-Time Families board, it doesn't take very long. You can get 20 different answers to a single question. It's a great way to, you know, have your fears and all those things calmed and questions answered.
Well, so what's going on at Road Trip Teacher this week?
Road Trip Teacher is, as I told you, we posted our July 4th copy work and study guide that got posted this evening. Our preschooler packs are coming out this week, and so let me explain this a little bit to anyone that's listening or familiar with our study guides. The copywork guides that are coming out, we released to National Parks a few weeks ago. July 4th was this week. And so what that includes is a print version and a cursive version. So if you have younger elementary and upper elementary, then those combo packs will work for that age group. And what we've decided to do this weekend is we're going to release preschooler packs, and those are going to be freebies. So those will be free printables. So if you have big kids and you come to Road Trip Teacher and you buy a study guide, that'll fit pretty much anything from K through or first grade through sixth grade. And then there will be a preschool pack that will be available for that as well. That'll be a free printable so that if you've got little ones running around your rig, it'll give them something to do so that they can feel like they're doing school at the same time and they'll kind of all be on the same page, learning the same thing, just at a different level. So we're going to provide those for free. And I'm excited about that. That is, we're doing that courtesy of North Trail RV Center in Fort Myers, Florida. So I want to give the shout out to them. They are a coast-to-coast dealer. As you know, Kimberly, that's where Barry, his inventory for RV sales for you, is all accessed through North Trail RV Center. So I want to give a shout out to those guys. Absolutely. Now, you know, Mary Beth, usually what we do for prizes is that we give them to live listeners. And you know, I've become obsessed with podcasts since I started. I wrote about that a little this week on Full Time Family's board. I love to do the dishes now because it's become my me time. I put my headphones on and I listen to a podcast. And I was listening to my podcast, doing my dishes the other night, and I thought, gosh, you know, if I'm listening to Road School Moms, and it's convenient for me to listen on, let's say, Wednesday and not Sunday night when we broadcast live, why don't I ever get a chance to win? You know, I know that the live listeners, you know, get a chance to win, so why can't I win? So why don't we do this? You're offering your copy work as a prize. Why don't we publish your email address, and if people are listening live or to the iTunes podcast or on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network as a replay, if they email you and say they've heard it on this episode, that you'll send it to them. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. I think that's a great idea. And, you know, this week we're featuring our July 4th Copywork Study Guide. But if you're listening on a podcast or iTunes or any of those on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, you just email me at info@roadtripteacher.com, and I'll be glad to send you a study guide of your choice for free.
Oh, that's really nice and generous. I'm going to start emailing right now.
Limit one per customer. And I know all your aliases, so watch it. Watch it there.
Okay, so the happenings at Full-Time Families, I'm super excited. Summer is my favorite time. Sometimes we have rallies during the summer, but this year, because we had the World's Best Road School Convention in April, we decided to skip a summer rally. But this year we're doing the second annual FTF Family Scavenger Hunt. And I love this program that we do. It's a 4-week program. If you're going to want to get involved, you're going to want to get involved in week one because it's a point system. Anyone listening, anyone who sees us on Facebook or Twitter or anywhere can join in on the fun. You do not have to be an FTF member to be a part of the scavenger hunt. We are going to offer a grand prize this year. Last year was $100. This year, grand prize, 250 cold, hard bucks. So, super excited about it. All you need to participate is a family and a smartphone and a Facebook account. The whole thing unfolds on Facebook over 4 weeks, like I said, and it's a lot of fun. If you enjoy any kind of game or, you know, this is the perfect thing for our families who don't normally take summer vacations, but even if you're on a summer vacation and you want to spice it up a little, this is a great thing to be a part of. Or if you're having a summer staycation, maybe your kids are home from school and you don't know what to do with them, then you're going to want to participate in this. There's all sorts of fun photo ops that you're going to get to run around your town collecting and posting, and the person with most points at the end of 4 weeks will earn $250. So we are currently in the process of finding the perfect fit for sponsorship for this. It's a headline sponsorship opportunity, and if you're interested in being a sponsor,
then you're going to want to email me, Kimberly@fulltimefamilies.com, and we'll see if it's a good fit for you. So that's what's going on at Full Time Families. We're just putting the finishing touches on that and nailing down our sponsor, and we'll be rolling that out right after 4th of July.
Oh, that's so exciting. I swear I can't believe that we're up on the 4th of July, which brings me to a couple of posts that's going to be coming out from Road Trip Teacher this week, and that is our top 10 favorite places that we think you should watch the fireworks this year on 4th of July. I got to thinking about how many places in this country and how many cool places there are to watch those festivities. So what's the coolest place, Kimberly, that you watch fireworks while you've been on the road?
Well, you know, it's hard for me because I grew up on the Hudson River in New Jersey, on the Jersey side of the Hudson River. And when I grew up, Macy's did their fireworks on the Hudson River. So we used to just drive to our favorite spot on the Hudson River and put up our lawn chairs and watch the fireworks, and that was always a lot of fun. Since we've been on the road, I haven't found that same kind of thing for our family. We have enjoyed them in Seaside, Oregon. Sometimes we just skip them. This year, I'm thinking we might go to some state fair arena. I'm really not sure what we're going to do. Where are you going to be watching them?
You know, I'm not sure. The first year that we traveled, we watched them in Coos Bay, Oregon. And as you know, I'm a big Oregon fan. I love the Oregon coast, so it's hard to beat that. And it's not that it was so amazingly spectacular. It was just a really cool location. It was a great venue, and it was beautiful over the water. It was reflecting, so it's hard to beat that. I have put it out there that I think that we should start collecting July 4th locations in our little memory book. You know how you know some people want to go like the Perrys, you know, they've done all the state capitals. I want to do this list of fireworks locations. There's no one in my rig that's on board though, so I don't know. What I wanted to do this year was do St. Louis and watch the fireworks under the arch. But no one's as excited about this as me, so we'll see.
That's disappointing. I would come.
See? Maybe you and I should go then.
Yeah, I think so. You and I should do it. We should have our own tour, and then we'll hook up with Jeremy later on in the fall.
Oh, that's so perfect. We can lay this all out.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
So check in my show notes. Do you have anything else you want to tell the people tonight?
I don't. I'm just we've had a pretty low-key week and excited that summer's here, looking forward to July 4th, and excited about the new projects we're rolling out, and excited about your scavenger hunt, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm already starting to think about our fall travel, and I'm like, oh, let summer be. I don't want to rush summer through, but I'm already starting to think about our FTF friends that I'm going to be seeing this fall and some of the places we're going to be.
Yeah, actually, we are, too. We're already planning our August. We got a phone call from home saying Chris's sister would love to fly in and meet us. And people who don't full-time RV don't realize what, not a problem, that's the wrong word, but what a predicament this can pose to try to plan, you know, 2 months in advance, like a moving target, you know? So we're trying to figure out where to have her fly in to meet us. And it's going to take a small algorithm, and I think I'm going to call NASA for some help.
You know what I think? I think you should just put some dates in a jar, shake them all up, throw it out, and whichever one comes out, that's the date you should shoot for, because it will probably be about as scientific as that.
Yeah. You know, in that same vein, I was doing laundry one day, and again, this goes back to our laundromat discussion versus no laundromat and how much I prefer the laundromat. And I was going through the quarters, and you know, they got all those U.S. quarters, and I thought, what a great idea. If you didn't know where you wanted to go next, but you had a general quadrant of the country, you could put those 4 or 5 quarters in a bag and have one of your kids pick it, and boom, that's where we'll go next, whatever state quarter comes out.
Ooh, that's an interesting idea. That's so funny. Someone asked me this week, how do you decide where you're going next? And I didn't even know how to answer that question because we don't have a system, you know? I mean, there's certain times that we need to be in certain places, but other than that, I don't know. It's like floating with the wind, I guess.
Yeah, you know, yeah, exactly. It's whatever
whatever the loudest person in the house wants at that time.
Oh, my gosh. That is so true. That is so true.
You know, because sometimes you really care, and sometimes you don't. You know, so.
Okay, well, it's been a wonderful night. I've had a really good time chatting with you and learning so much about that movie with Jeremy. And like you said, the wheels are turning, pardon the pun. And I'm super excited to be a part of that launch. And next week, let me see what's going on next week. Well, next week we come back to, next week's the 29th. So let me see what's on our calendar. Oh, it's just you and me talking about what to keep and what to toss.
Oh, that's right. I'm looking forward to that. I'm all in the middle of that right now, so that's exciting. I'm glad that's next week. So you can join us same time, same place next week on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network here live with us at 9 p.m. Eastern for that, the last Sunday of June. That'll be exciting.
Yeah, exactly. And Mary Beth and I will tell you exactly what to throw out in your RV. Have no fear. We are experts. We are professionals.
All right. It's been great talking with you, and I will look forward to chatting with you next weekend.
Okay, good night, and thanks for everyone who tuned in.
Safe travels.
This is Kimberly.
And this is Mary Beth, your Road School Moms, on the road where education meets adventure. Until next time, we wish you safe travels and leave you with our traveler's prayer. Lord, be our guide and protector. Let those I encounter be blessed by my words. Let my hands be filled with your work, and may I be filled with your grace and kind words for others. May I be a light unto those around me on the journey ahead. Amen.
Amen. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. If you'd like more information, go to roadschoolmoms.com.